right. If you're visiting with us today, we'd like to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and thank you for joining us in worship. Please look in the hymnal slot in front of you there, and there should be a pouch with a piece of paper and a pen. And if you'd fill that out, put it in the box on the way out the door in the morning, we'd sure love to have a little information about you. Again, thank you for being with us this morning, and welcome to Lake Country Bible Church.
Am I live? Yeah. Good morning. Okay, first thing we'll do is we'll do our announcements. So the announcements are as follows. Prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m. in this back room over here. It's led by Ray and Ruth North. Please come in. Anything is open for prayer. There is no need that God doesn't need to know about. There's no need that you cannot proclaim to God. Women's Bible study, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler's doing it. All the ladies are invited to that. If you're a man and you want to accompany your wife, sit out here. Ray will talk to you the whole time. Wednesday night, Bible study, 6 p.m. All are invited to that one. This week is our monthly man's prayer growth. Friday morning, 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. All men are invited. All men are invited. Please come. Bring a friend if you wish. Kindness Cottage food pantry collection. That's that table in the back. I think this is the last day for it. Hopefully you got something for that one. If you got anything, throw it on the table. The ladies will take care of it as they always do. They're wonderful. And, thank you for Miss Brenda. She held a women's brunch yesterday and it says a sweet fellowship and wonderful time had by all. I cannot say I was not there. Okay, and evidently we're getting ready to start the Christmas child thing up. That's wherever you get a shoebox and you put stuff off in it and they give it to a child. So, I'm gonna read what was in your bulletin this morning. It says Samaritan Purse Operation Christmas Child. This year we will collect items for shoeboxes every month from May to September. As you see, the items at a good price, bring them to the church, put them on the large, in the large plastic bin in the foyer, whatever. Items needed are stuffed animals, dolls, books, small toys, games, hairbrushes, combs, hygiene items, bars of soap, toothbrushes, washcloths, Band-Aids, Kleenexes, small packs, not big ones, school items such as pencils, markers, pens, papers, pads, rulers, sports items such as soccer balls or footballs, you know, because we're American. Small air pumps, jump ropes. Oh, there is a football in there. And when we're saying football, it's not the round one. It's the oblong one, okay? Below are the requested items for each month, and we will need it all to finish the shoebox or to fill the shoebox in October. We'll have a party to pack the boxes. If we get a whole box, I may actually do y'all a brisket or something for that one. I might do that. That may get more people out. Or either by chasing away one. In May, we're going to look for hygiene items, sunglasses, headbands. In June, we're looking for small dolls and animals, stuffed animals, not real live animals. July, games, toys, flashlights, batteries, cars, trucks, small cars. August will be school supplies, September clothing, shoes, hats, sports items like, soccer balls and pumps, pads, bouncing balls on string, jump ropes and football. I guess that's that one of that little paddle thing. Nobody could ever do that. If you have any information, Jean Fox is at the back of the foyer and she's the little small lady with the white hair. Get with her. She can help you out on anything. And please, guys, this is something for people that, you know, it's a simple thing you can do. You're at the dollar store. You see something on sale. Pick something up and bring it down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I love that we can come to your house of worship and have fun when we do it. But there's a time whenever we need to come to you and we need to understand that you love us and you paid the price for our salvation by dying on that cross. We can never understand that. We just know it's true because your word says it's true. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for the love that you give us and you showed us at that particular time. We ask that as we go forth with our lives that we can show your love, the love of Jesus Christ, through each and every one of our actions, knowing we will never do it perfectly. We ask that we would not shy away from a person that is in need of that love, and that your Holy Spirit will be in the words that we speak at that particular time. We'll move on somebody's heart and draw them to you. I pray that you'll give us the boldness to stand forth for you every day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I am slated to read from 1 John 4 through 9. But I'm going to audible here, and I want to actually start at 1 because I like kind of going into the thing. I hate getting into the middle of an idea. So I'm going to start reading from 1. I apologize for this, Mike, but I just feel it. Yes, I did. My allergy, I won't be sniffling or nothing. So I don't know whatever medicine he's talking about. So let's start reading that 1 John 4:1. I just kind of like getting the idea of where we're getting into. So we'll start at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and which is already in the world at this time. And this is where he wants me to start reading. You, little children, are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are of the world. That is why they speak from the world's perspective, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. That is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Beloved, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how love is revealed among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
Well, good morning, church. I think we'll just say a closing prayer and close the service down. A couple of things I want to share with you this morning. Matter of probably some announcements. We are putting together a group, possibly two groups, more than likely two groups, to go to Grace Farm for summer camp this summer. We have an opportunity for junior age kids, that would be 8 to 12, to go, and the dates for that is June the 13th through the 16th. And we have a lady here in our church who is going to be taking her niece, and she has room for a couple of more. And so if you're interested in that, let me know, or Ray North know. Then also we have Grace, or Camp Grace. That is for the age of 12 through 18, and that's going to be June the 19th through 23rd. And so if you're interested in that, be sure and let me know, or Ray know. If you're interested in driving, we may have a need for some drivers to get the kids there. Our church is planning on renting whatever vehicles are necessary to transport the kids there and back, but that's available. We do have scholarships for those that want to go, and so just get with either Ray or myself, and we will get some applications to you. I should have had them this morning, but guess what? I didn't take my meds either, and I forgot them. So please forgive me for that. By the way, once again, Brenda, Brad, thank you so much for your ministry to us, because it adds so much to the service. I just wish I could get an applause after my sermon. By the way, the ladies had a gathering yesterday, and I haven't heard the end of it. Oh, what a time they had. And by the way, I really appreciate the goodies that were brought home. I don't know whether my wife asked if she could take them or whether she just stuck them in her purse, but I've enjoyed those. But I don't think our church will be having another one of those. I haven't been able to control my wife since she got in yesterday. But I understand the ladies had a great time. And Brenda, we appreciate you opening your home to the ladies and having such a good time. I understand you played beautifully yesterday, as usual. Little boy and his family were having Sunday dinner at his grandmother's. And when he sat down at the table, he immediately started to dig in, and his dad said, "Son, maybe we ought to pray." Son, little boy said, "No, Dad, there's no need to." He said, "Grandma knows how to cook." So I'm sure that went well. Sunday school teacher was teaching a class of junior age kids, trying to get across the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. After she had gone for a while and told the account from Scripture of the Good Samaritan and the man that was injured along the highway, and so she said, "Well, what do you think that you would do if you ran across someone injured like that? What would you do?" Little girl raised her hand, and the teacher said, "Well, what would you do?" She says, "I think I'd throw up." So that's the way things go from time to time. Sorry about that one. This morning we read from the book of 1 John. And believe it or not, I have two sermons prepared. So sermon B will begin right after sermon A this morning. You might want to call somebody and order some sandwiches in, but I'll try to keep it to the time limit that I have. We've been in the book of 1 John, but there was a comment that I received, and I appreciate that comment. I won't mention name, but I appreciate the comment regarding the simplicity and the clarity of the gospel. It's amazing how Terry's Sunday school lessons and my sermons go hand in hand sometimes. In fact, many times they go together. And in Sunday school this morning, attention was made to the errors that continue to be perpetrated upon congregations, upon people who do not know Christ as their personal Savior, as the truth. This morning, I want to share with you about 7 different examples of individuals, and I'm not going to call names. I did that one time and have regretted it ever since. I won't call names because I don't want to step on your favorite radio or television personalities, toes. But I want to share with you, and I want you to make mental note of which one of these gospel presentations you believe is the clearest and the one that people can come to know Christ according to Scripture now. Which one you think is the best? This first man has been on the radio daily for over 40 years, and this is what he says regarding how to get to heaven. Repentance is a word that's often misunderstood. What does it really mean? He defined repentance as having 3 parts to it. The first is conviction. You have to know what is right before you can do what is right. In simple terms, conviction is a deep awareness of one's sin and guilt. The Holy Spirit draws us to Himself and gives us a desire to harmonize our relationship with Him. The second component of repentance is contrition. Contrition is being sorry for one's sin and depravity. When I knelt at an altar at 4 years of age, I wept like the baby that I was. I certainly didn't understand the message of contrition or the meaning of contrition, but I knew I wanted Jesus to forgive me for my sins and come to live in my heart. Don't tell me a child is incapable of understanding what that means. I experienced it. That memory is as vivid to me now as it was all those decades ago. And the third aspect of repentance is a willingness to change. It involves becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, changing one's behavior and thought patterns. The Apostle Paul warned us, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think it would be helpful in conclusion to give an example of the kind of prayer that a person might pray if he or she understands what I've been writing and wants to accept Jesus Christ as his or her own Lord and Savior. You can give that an A through an F if you mentally would like to do that. I have come to understand through some, I guess it would be 68 years ago when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, led to the Lord by my mom and dad. But most Christians today are not aware of how serious it is to add works to the work of Christ on the cross. It's the difference between whether or not a person is saved. It's the difference between heaven and hell for that person that you're talking with or group of people that you're talking with. You see, there is a responsibility for those who stand before others or those who speak one-on-one to others to make sure that they get the gospel clear and simple and understandable to the unsaved. Satan is always there protecting those that belong to him, and he will try to confuse the message. Was that message good? Or was it bad? Was it an A or an F? Another man who reaches over 4 million people each week has this to say about how to get to heaven. If you would like to know Christ, all you have to do is receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ by saying a prayer of salvation. Pray this aloud. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Come into my heart. Wash me clean. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Is that a grade of A, B, C, D, E, or maybe even F? Romans 3, chapter 23 says, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Jesus Christ and to all and upon all them that believe. This next man was seen and heard daily by 1 million people around the globe. Here's what he said about how to be saved. The person who has given himself or herself to Jesus Christ and has truly repented from sin can find repeated assurance of the eternal covenant given to his people by a God who cannot lie. And repentance in the Greek means an afterthought. You were going one way, and now you turn to another. You change the way you were living. How about that? Well, let me tell you what God's Word says in Romans chapter 10, verse 23. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, this is God's Word. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This next man, as over 30,000 people weekly attend his church on several campuses, he says the following about salvation. When I repent, I make a mental U-turn. I turn from guilt to forgiveness. I turn from purposefulness to purpose in life. I turn from no hope to new hope. I turn from frustration to freedom. I turn from darkness to light. I turn from hell to heaven. I turn from hatred to love. How about that? What grade would you give that? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 26 through 28, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Sounds like Scripture and this man maybe differ on what they say is necessary. For me, I would follow Scripture. This next man, though, is a prolific author, heard around the world, has 700,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel and is worth $20 million. This is what he says is necessary for eternal life. See what you think, what grade he would get. Then we'll see what God's Word has to say. If you will repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus, God says he'll forgive all your sins and grant you the gift of everlasting life. If you repent, that means to confess and forsake your sins. Put your trust in Jesus, then you will not have to suffer God's justice in hell because the payment for your crimes was made by Jesus on the cross. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Does that man and the Scriptures agree? The following man has had a successful TV ministry for years that reaches millions in 127 languages. This is what he has to say about how to get to heaven. If Christ is our Savior and Lord, we must turn from our old sinful lifestyle, which previously ruled us. We now hate sin. Have a new desire for righteousness. What does God's Word say? Well, in 1 John 1:8, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What grade would you give that man? The following man we'll be looking at or hearing from this morning pastors a church with 22,000 active members, and is heard on more than 200 radio and television stations in 160 countries around the world. Here's what he has to say regarding how to have eternal life. Salvation is not a denominational doctrine or family inheritance. It's a personal experience. If you have any doubt about your salvation, pray the sinner's prayer. See the prayer below. First, you must repent of your sins. Consider your life and anything in it that would grieve God. List those things. Consider how God feels about those sins. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Not a mention of the cross or the price that Christ paid for our sins in that man's gospel. By the way, sometimes I would hate for somebody to find my list of sins. This man, God's word has to say here in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What grade would you give that gentleman with 22,000 active church members? I've seen many churches that would have been rejoicing over 5 active church members. This individual we'll be reading about preached to millions of people in more than 185 countries during his lifetime. And he says this, we can't earn salvation. We're saved by God's grace when we have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sin, ask His forgiveness, then turn from your sins. That's called repentance. Jesus Christ knows you and loves you. What matters to Him is the attitude of your heart, your honesty. We suggest praying the following prayer to accept Christ as your Savior. Elsewhere, he said, do you know you will go to heaven when you die? You can by committing your life to Christ today. It's interesting. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? You shall speak into the air. It's possible I would like somebody to turn on a little air. I think it's getting warm up here. Other people fanning. What about these guys? Wes, can you get some air on, please, sir? What about these guys? We looked at 7. Did all 7 of them agree? The influence that these pastors, Bible teachers, have upon those that they are speaking to? What an influence they have. Error. They have error in their message. Each and every one. What about the clarity of the scriptures? Galatians, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We find that many of these guys that have such influence over so many people, and the message that they give is a message of turn or burn. You've got to straighten out. You've got to do this, that, or the other. Some might be fairly clear on salvation, but then they come in with works, what we call backloading the gospel. So basically what they're asking people to do is to work their way into heaven. Many of them would be forsake or bake, if you would. That would be how they would title their sermon. Or maybe toil or boil, or maybe Try or Fry, all of them trying to get man to do something for his salvation. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It has to be one or the other. If you add works to grace, you no longer have grace. If you add grace to works, you no longer have works. We find that earlier in the book of Romans. Paul writes and says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified apart from the works of the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and following, for such are false apostles. Who? Whoever has a false message. Whoever is adding works to salvation. Whoever is adding works to the grace of God. They are false apostles. I would dare say, I'm not going to say that. You make up your own mind. But I would dare say the crying need today in churches here in America and around the world, spoken in front of TV cameras or radio microphones or written into books or pamphlets, but stand the education by God the Holy Spirit what the gospel really is. So many people are confused. These seven reaching millions upon millions upon millions of people, and they don't even agree on what's necessary to get to heaven. The only place that we can get the answer is from the Word of God. And read the Word of God with your eyes open. Look and see what it says, in other words. Time and time and time again, the Word of God tells us that it's by grace through faith that we have eternal life as a gift from God. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Paul's writing this, I'm not, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These seven we looked at, and I could have gone on. In fact, I cut it short. Time after time after time, messages coming out from the pulpits in the world around us, here in America and around the world, the pastors don't agree on what is necessary to get to heaven if what they say is what they believe. What was your grade on these seven that we looked at? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians and he says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The lost need clarity in the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. Galatians 4:21, ye that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? Cursed is all under the law to do all that the law says. Galatians 3:10, for all that are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things. James 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all, which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, Christ came and died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world. We are his ambassadors. It is necessary for us as we go out and share with other people, simply and clearly, not in a downcasting way upon the person's lifestyle or how they're dressed or who they are, but simply share the good news that salvation is by belief, by faith. Well-known scripture, scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever worketh, joineth, believeth, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll be looking into 1 John for too long, but in 2 John before too long, but in chapter 1, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. That's how God feels about people with an unclear message. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their credentials are. I don't care where they preach. I don't care where they teach. I don't care all of the good that they've done by making collections for the poor. They're not honoring to God. We ought to be careful, people. We ought to be careful. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, Paul says, let him be accursed. It's not true. A false message never saves. A false message only confuses. A false message only causes people to spend eternity separated from God and all their loved ones who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. Oh, friend, we need to be careful. We need to be careful about those that we listen to, those that we see on TV, the literature that are written by these folks. I'm sure many of them are well-intended. I'm sure many of them want people to go to heaven. But unless the message is clear, unless the message is accurate, it does not save, it condemns. And it's so easy to bring in somebody who is eloquent, who is good looking, who is successful, who's written many books, who has a TV program. It's so easy to bring them in. Not necessarily into the church, but possibly into the church. But bring them into our realm of understanding and appreciation of the scriptures. So dangerous. We ought to be careful. Romans chapter 18, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. In other words, they don't have a clear message. They don't have a grace message. They don't have free gift of salvation message. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. We ought to be careful. We ought to be careful about what we read, look at, listen to, as far as men who are saying they're proclaiming the gospel. We have some books in our church library. They've been there for a number of years. Need to be taken out, because they do not contain a clear message or gospel. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is Jehovah, Yahshua, Hebrew. God who saves, God who keeps, God who defends. You see, there's not anything more precious than a message. God loves you, loves me, loves the people outside those doors, loves them with a perfect love, sent his Son that their sin would be paid for, and all who would trust his death to get them to heaven. God gives you eternal life, free gift. He sends the Holy Spirit to indwell and keep, guide, and teach. This is the message that the world is needing today. Clear, simple, unpolluted message of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20, following, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance. Repentance, that's a good word. That's a good word. Just simply means to change your mind. Change your mind. I repented the other day when I made a wrong turn. I changed my mind, turned around and went in the other direction. But that's not what repentance means. It means just to change your mind. I repented, and the minute I turned around, went in the other direction, changed my mind. I wasn't going in the right direction. That could be a little bit confusing. Using that definition. Repentance just means to change your mind. Just change your mind. Think new. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe. Turn from sin. Pray a prayer? No. Raise your hand? No. Raising your hand doesn't save you. All that does is let me know what you've done. Out of work, and raising hand doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Same as you visiting with me personally and saying, Mike, pray for me. So when we give the gospel here, raising of hand is not adding to the gospel. It's just simply letting me know that you've trusted Christ. You're already saved the moment you trust him. But after you trust him, you need the prayers of somebody who loves you and is concerned for you. Because this man right here, standing up here, has fought some 68 years. I know how Satan comes in. Tried every trick in the book. Some I've fallen for, some I haven't. But he tries to discourage you the moment you trust Christ, because you're a danger to him. You're a danger to him. And he was going to discourage you in every way that he can. Need the prayers of somebody who's concerned. But raising your hand is not part of salvation. Be it known unto you, brethren, men and brethren, therefore men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified, in other words, made perfect, all things from which you could not be justified by the law. Oh, friend. Seek out those to read. Seek out those to listen to. Seek out those to watch on TV that are clear. I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised how hard it is to find that type of an individual. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, unto good works. You see, good works doesn't save. We're saved to do good works. We're already saved, should be doing good works. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk them. That's God's plan for us. That's what God would have us do. Whether we're a ditch digger, or whether we're the president of the bank or president of the United States, that's what God would have us do, is to trust him by grace through faith and serve him, the clear gospel message. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, Christ did the work. God offers the gift. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I would invite you, in fact, I would encourage you, simply right there where you're at, trust Christ and what he's done for you. And if you do that, you'll just let me know. I'll be glad to pray for you. Still praying for some folks who trusted Christ right here in our church, our little church of 40, 45, 30, 35, whatever. Trust Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and we thank you so much for the simplicity of the gospel. Father, that we can never do the good works necessary to deserve us a place in heaven with you. Christ paid for our sin, paid that death payment. Father, you give us eternal life as a free gift when we believe that and trust in that to get us to heaven. We thank you. Thank you so much. Here this morning, the best way you know how, you trust in Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, raising your hand has nothing to do with salvation, has to do with me knowing who you are. Pray for you. Have to walk an aisle. Don't have to do anything except believe. God's word says you have eternal life. You're doing that this morning, would you just slip up your hand? Well, you know how you trust in Christ? Fine. Father, we just thank you so much for those that are here. Father, may we take for ourselves the warning of men who stand behind pulpits proclaiming a message that sounds so good because we have a part in it. Father, they pollute the gospel. Father, thank you so much. We can have eternal life as a free gift, secure in Christ forever and ever, because you love us that much. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads, guides, teaches, convicts, and directs, and indwells every believer. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name.